This morning we began studying from John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. I want to reread verses 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll proceed. I'm not going to go back and try to do any review work on what we covered this morning, other than maybe briefly just mentioning what we're talking about, and then we'll continue our study tonight on the passage of Scripture here in John chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, I'll not engage in further audible prayer, but I do ask all of you to please be praying that God will bless us as we try to study His holy word. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, the word of God says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him," that is in Christ, Jesus, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want us to think about, again tonight, there are three main things. First of all, the Word of God here, as well as in most of the book of John, the Word of God is emphasizing the importance of us believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in Christ, trusting in Christ, following Christ, depending on Christ is very important for the children of God while they live here in this world. "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." We tried to study this morning about perishing and the fact that God's children, even after we've been born of the Spirit of God, after we've been quickened, God's children can perish while they live here in this world. The illustration that was given here, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that is, you go back and look at Moses lifting up the serpent back there, that when the children of Israel were smitten or bitten by those snakes in the wilderness, those snakes represent the devil attacking the people of God, that when the children of Israel were bitten by those snakes, that if they lifted up their eyes and looked at that brazen serpent, that the strike of Satan or the bite of the snakes would not destroy them, they would not die. In the same sense, Christ is lifted up, and as we are living here in this world, in this low ground of sin and sorrow, and as we're making our journey toward the kingdom of heaven and trying to dwell in the kingdom of heaven each day, Satan is going to attack us just like those serpents attacked the children of Israel back there in Numbers chapter 21. And as Satan attacks us, the only way that we will not perish is if we are looking to Jesus. If we, as Jesus is lifted up, we need to lift up our eyes to Jesus and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I want us to look now at the book of Jude. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. We're going to just mention a few other scriptures that talk about the people of God perishing. God's people can perish. And that's what He says here. If we will believe in Christ, if we will, whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever believeth in Christ, whosoever trusts in Christ, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. So it's important that we believe in Christ. Look now at Jude verse 5. Jude verse 5, the Word of God says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that," what? "Destroyed them that believed not." Now, why is Jude, by inspiration of God, why is he saying, "I want to remind you that the same God who delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage," why is he telling us that, "I want to remind you that after He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, He afterward destroyed them that believed not"? It's because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and afterward destroyed them that believed not, even after God has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death, He will still destroy His people while they live here in this world if we believe not. It's important that we believe in God and that we trust in the Lord and that we do what God says, that we follow God. Whosoever believeth in Him will not perish. That is, if you'll believe in Christ and if you'll look to Christ, you will not perish. And I pray that God will help every one of us every day. What is it that we need to believe? He says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. Just tell me some things we need to believe. When we talk about believing in Christ, what are we talking about? One of the things we're talking about, one of the things the Word of God is talking about, is that we believe that Jesus Christ has saved His people from their sins. How does that save me? If I really believe that Jesus accomplished what He came to do, it gives me peace in my soul to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It will save me from doubting. Have you ever doubted whether or not you were a child of God? Have you ever doubted that? Have you ever doubted anything about truth and about God and the things of God? Sometimes the people of God begin to doubt, and the only thing that will help you then is if you lift up your eyes to Satan. What is it that causes the people of God to doubt? What is it? Okay, it's unbelief and it's a lack of faith, but it's Satan that comes and attacks your mind, which results in unbelief. And whenever Satan attacks us and we begin to doubt and fear, then we need to believe in Christ. Sometimes, many times, Satan tells me, you're not worthy to preach the gospel. And I admit and I declare to him, you're exactly right. I am not worthy. And if it weren't for what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for me, I would not continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have to believe in Him. I have to believe, whenever I doubt that I'm a child of God, I have to believe what God's Word says. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. You and I will perish. Satan will attack our minds and our thoughts, and we'll give up. We'll become weak and weary and faint in our minds unless we believe in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And if you don't believe in Him, and if you don't look to Him, you will what? You will perish. We will perish. In fact, this word here, again, I mentioned this morning that the word perish in John 3:16, that there are several other, there are about five other words that when that Greek word is translated into the English language, there are about five other words, and one of those is lost. And in Luke 15, the word lost and lose is mentioned about seven or eight times, and in every place it's talking about perish. Same word, lost and perish. That son, the prodigal son, that went away and left his father's house, and when he came back, he said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was what? He was lost and is found. That word lost comes from the same word as the word perish in John 3:16. And then here in Jude 5, we look at the word destroyed. Do you see this? How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, the same people He saved, He later what? Destroyed. Now guess what that word destroyed comes from? It comes from the exact same Greek word as the word perish in John 3:14, 15, and 16, or John 3:15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so it is that in Jude, the Word of God again is reminding the people of God the same truth that Jesus taught us in John 3:14 through 16, that as Satan attacks our lives, as he attacks your mind, as he tempts you, every time Satan tempts you, you better believe in Jesus. You better believe that Jesus. One thing I need to know is that Jesus, believe is my, Jesus is my what? What's the most important thing for you to remember about Jesus? Jesus is my what? Jesus is my Savior. I need to know and believe that Jesus is my Savior, that He has saved me from my sins. And when I believe that, it gives me a feeling of eternal security that gives me the strength and grace I need each day. It's because of that eternal security and believing in Him that He's my Savior that I can say like Job, though He slay me, what? Yet will I trust in Him. What's he believing? He saved me, and He's going to carry me to heaven one day. And that gives you strength. It gives you courage. It gives you everything you need whenever Satan begins to attack you and make you feel like, well, I'm just going to perish. Well, you say, well, I may die, but I'm not going to be separated from the love of God because the devil and all of his angels cannot take us out of the hand of God. You've got to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I not only need to believe in Him as my Savior, I need to believe in Him. Tell me another important thing for me to believe in Him. Not only that He's my Savior, but He's my what? He's my King. Now as my King, listen carefully, as my King, He is my lawgiver. And as my King, He is my judge. And I need to believe in Him as my King. I need to believe that He is the only one that can give me the rules and the laws for my life. The rules and laws that we have in this land, they're made up by men. At one time, our forefathers always based the laws of our land on the laws from the King, Jesus. But we've begun to change the laws of the land. Do you know which law you're still under today? It's not the laws of the land, it's the laws of the King. You know who you must obey and you must follow and you must believe in? You know who you must trust in? Not the government, but in your King, Jesus. That's the one you need to trust in. You need to believe in Jesus as your Savior. You need to believe in Him as your King. You need to believe in Him as the lawgiver. You need to believe in Him as the judge. Who is it that's really going to judge you? The Word of God says that we must all. Paul said we. You know who that includes? It includes children of God. In fact, it is specifically there talking about children of God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's my King, and as my King, He is also my judge. If I believe He is my King, if I believe He's my judge, while I'm believing that, I won't perish. Did you know that? While I am believing that He's my King, I will not perish. Why? Because while I am believing He's my King, and while I believe He's my judge, I'm going to be conscious that I must obey Him. I must follow Him. I must serve Him. And as long as I believe and am believing that He's my King and my judge, I'm going to follow Him. And as long as I'm following Him, I shall not what? I shall not perish, but I will have what? I will have everlasting life. I will have eternal life. I will put you in remembrance. I want to remind every one of you this evening that not only did God save the people out of Egyptian bondage, but He afterward destroyed them that believed not. Why did Jude remind the people? I know it was inspired by God, but why did he remind the people that the same God who delivered them would destroy them? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This idea that God was the God of judgment in the Old Testament, but He's the God of mercy in the New Testament, is a lie from the devil. God is the same today. Go with me back to Hebrews. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Please look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 3. We're talking about not perishing. I don't want you to perish. You know, the greatest fear and the greatest concern that I have about each of our lives is not that you're going to die and go to hell. But my greatest burden, my concern, my fear, my heart's burden is that some are going to perish. And they're going to perish because they're just going away from Christ. What is it that causes you to go away from Christ? You don't believe in Him. You don't believe in Him. Oh yes, you may believe He's your Savior, but you don't believe in Him as your King. You don't believe in Him as your Lord. You don't believe He's your judge. You don't believe He's right there taking account of everything you do in your life. You know, some people do things for money and they will just turn their back on what God's Word teaches for money. Did you know that? Some people will do something for one thing and then another. But God's children better understand that when we turn our backs on God and we walk away from God and we disobey what God's Word says, If you do it for money, what will happen to all your money? What will happen to it? God will take it away. Whatever you do things for, if they're contrary to God's word, you need to understand God's going to judge us for that. And you'll perish. You'll perish. I'll perish. Listen now in Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 8. The writer of the Hebrew letter says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, the inspired word of God, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8 says, harden not your hearts. Have you ever hardened your heart? Have you ever hardened your heart? Have you ever gotten mad because of something that was preached? How many of you here have ever gotten mad about something that was preached? Thanks, Sister Dorothy. I doubt that you're the only one. Gracious, I get upset myself about things I preach. If you don't ever get mad, you must just not be listening at all. Sometimes people of God get mad at what God's Word says. Did they get mad at Moses? They despise Moses? Did they get mad at the prophets in the Old Testament? I'm talking about children of God. Did they despise the prophets? Who killed the prophets? It was the children of God that killed the prophets. Who killed the apostles? It was children of God that killed the apostles. Why did they all get killed? Why? Why were they all hated? They were hated and they were killed because the prophets and the apostles kept telling the people what they were doing wrong in their lives. You know, one of the things that upset me tremendously when I was a young man was as I would go to a lot of Primitive Baptist churches, I would hear Primitive Baptist preachers get up and laugh about those denominations down the road and what they're doing wrong and what they believe and all this stuff. Listen, brethren, we've got too many problems ourselves to ever point our finger down the road at someone else. Every one of us, we need to examine ourselves and consider our ways. We don't have time to laugh at someone else's sin. We need to consider our own sin. Hebrews chapter 3, he says, harden not your hearts. I want to encourage you, please pray that God will never let you harden your hearts, because you can harden your hearts. So it is, the Word of God says, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation. What's he doing here? As in the provocation. What's he doing? Same thing Jesus did in John 3:16. What did Jesus say? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What's he doing here? Harden not your hearts. As in the provocation. What's he reminding the people of God here? He's reminding the people of how the children of God, after they were delivered out of Egypt, they hardened their hearts. Repeatedly, they hardened their hearts. They despised God and they despised the messenger of God. Listen now in Hebrews 3:9. He says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore was I grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Who had erred? Who had erred? God's people had erred. Why did they err? It's because they did not believe God, and they didn't believe in God. They were not believing God. It was what? Unbelief. So he says in verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, because of their unbelief, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What was the rest? What was the rest for the children of Israel in the Old Testament? What was the rest for them there? It was Canaan land. Now he's going to come right on down. I encourage you to go home and read the rest of this chapter and all of chapter 4 and all the rest of the Bible. But the analogy he's giving here is that there was a rest for them and they were destroyed. They perished because they didn't believe God and they did not enter into His rest. God says, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Why did God say, they shall not enter into my rest? Because of their unbelief. Verse 12, listen now. Hebrews 3, verse 12, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. We're not talking about dead alien sinners. We're talking about children of God. He says, take heed. What's the next word? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You know, I've heard people say all my life, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. I'm just going to do what my heart tells me to do. Let me tell you something, brethren. The Word of God says your heart is desperately wicked. You follow your heart and you'll be perishing. You follow your heart, you follow your mind, you follow what you think, and you will perish without a doubt. You cannot follow your heart, you can't follow what you feel, you can't follow what you think. You have to follow what God says in His Word. And many times what God says will go... In fact, I'll back up. Every time what God says is going to go completely contrary to what your heart says. Too many people are following their heart. They're making decisions on what they think's best for them instead of looking to God's Word or even seeking godly counsel. Many, many people are making their own decisions that are completely contrary to the Word of God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in, what's the next phrase say? In departing from the living God. The only people who can depart from God are those who have been with God. And there can be an evil heart in me and you and any of us. An evil heart of unbelief. And when that evil heart of unbelief is in me or you, we will depart from the living God. And when we depart from God, we will what? What's the word? We will perish. We will not have everlasting life. We will perish when we have that evil heart of unbelief. He says in verse 13, but exhort one another. What's that mean? Verse 13, what's he saying? Exhort one another. Encourage one another. What else? Admonish one another, teach one another, but exhort one another, teach one another, admonish one another, encourage one another daily. Do you need to be encouraging me and me encouraging you? Do I need to help you stay on the right track? Do I need to do everything I can to try to get you to see when you're going in error, and you need to do everything you can to get me to see when I go in error? Listen, brethren, we want to just bow up and run in our own direction. We'll perish, we'll perish, we'll perish. You don't have to listen to what anybody says. Do what you want to do, and you'll perish. You don't have to do what God says. Parents, children, just do your own thing if you want to. But stand assured, you will perish. You'll perish. If you don't believe God and believe God's Word, you'll perish. Come down to verse 17. Hebrews 3, verse 17. The Word of God says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was God grieved with for 40 years? His children, the children of Israel. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They died a literal death. They were destroyed. They perished in the wilderness. Verse 18 says, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? Them that what? Believed not. What does John 3, 14, 15, and 16 say? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Listen now to verse 19. Why did they not enter into His rest? Because they what? They believed not. Verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Read me the next verse, Brother John. Everybody follow the connection between chapter 3 and chapter 4? What's all of chapter 3 saying? He's saying, don't harden your hearts like they did back there in the wilderness. Don't do what they did. They were guilty of unbelief, and because of their unbelief, they did not enter into His rest. Let us, listen to Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest. You think God's telling you that we can go back there and go in the land of Canaan? Is that what He's telling us? Not at all. But there is a rest. Listen carefully. There is a rest for the people of God today. That rest is in His kingdom. It's the everlasting life. It's the eternal life that God's obedient children, those who believe in Christ and follow Christ and put Him first in their lives, they'll not perish. Let us therefore fear. What? What do you mean fear? I need to fear not entering into this rest. Why? Not only do I not enter into the rest, but I can enter into a hell and experience hell the rest of my life on this earth when I don't believe and do what Jesus says. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Can you get close to it, but still come short of it? Everybody hear the question? Can you get close to it, but still come short of it? Yes, you can. Say it again. Moses did. Ooh-wee, he sure did, didn't he? He got close, but he never entered in. He saw it, but he never entered in. That's what John 3, 1 through 5 is all about. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As Moses lifted up the serpent, this whole passage in John 3 is about the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, everlasting life versus perishing. Oh, by the way, what's the rest of chapter 4 about? Hebrews chapter 4. What's the rest of chapter 4 about? Well, come down to verse 11. You go home and read all this. Listen, you're going to miss a great blessing if you don't go home and read and study. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Is there a rest for the people of God? Is there a rest you can enter into while you live here in this world? Is there a rest that you have to work to enter into? Is there a rest you have to labor to enter into? You know, so many times we want to sit back and say, we're saved by grace, there's nothing to do. I'm telling you, as far as eternal salvation, we are saved by grace and there's nothing we do. We don't labor to enter eternal heaven, but we must labor to enter into this rest that God has for His obedient children while they live here in this world. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Come down to verse 12. For the Word of God, who is the Word of God? Listen, brethren, there's a difference in the written Word and the living Word. For the Word of God, look at verse 12, or in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I know that the Word of God, the written Word, I know the Gospel is compared to a sword, but that's not what this is talking about if you look carefully. For the Word of God, that's not all it's talking about. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is... The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in... What are the next two words there? His sight. Who is it we're talking about? The Word of God. It's the living Word, Jesus Christ. There is no creature that is not manifest in His sight. Whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever believes, he can see right down into your heart and your mind and your soul. Whosoever believeth in Him, if you believe He's the all-seeing eye, if you believe He sees your heart, though man sees the outward appearance, man looketh on the heart, God looketh on the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Do you believe that about Jesus? Do you believe He sees you? Do you believe He's watching you? Oh, when I was a little boy, not a little boy, well, I was a little boy when I first started. I was in about the fourth grade, and they used to sing at Flint River Church, they used to sing, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." And any of you remember that song, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you"? Me and Kerry Daniel and Tommy Daniel and Ben Daniel and some of us at Flint River, every time we'd sing that, "Watching you," you know what we'd do? You know how teenagers act sometimes, little kids act. We pointed at each other, "Watching you, watching you." Oh, little or no understanding. My daddy called me down one time on that, had me walk down front. Oh, it wasn't pleasant. You talking about walking down the aisle joining the church, that's nothing compared to walking down the aisle when somebody stops in the middle of preaching and says, "Come down here and sit on this front row." That's a long walk. Long walk. And then you know what's coming when you get home. And you're talking about some judgment, brethren. It's serious. I was afraid of my daddy, and rightly so. Now, I loved my daddy. My daddy loved me. And every time he wore me out with that belt, he had a belt that was about 2 inches wide, and he would double it up, and he'd rear back on one foot, and he'd tell me to hold my ankles, and he wore me out. It was a horrible experience. And it wasn't one little pop and pap and going your way. When he finished, listen, the last whipping I got, I was 18 years old, 6 months before I got married. Last whipping I got. When I was 18 years old, I lifted weights and I was strong, and my daddy weighed 135 and I weighed 205. But when he said, grab your ankles, little bitty guy now, my friends told me one time, you don't have to do what he says. And one time in my entire life, one time I rebelled against him openly, and it was not a pleasant experience. God, our God, will not allow us to not believe in Him and obey Him and follow Him. Our God's a jealous God. Our God is a consuming fire. Does He see you? Do you believe He sees you? You know when I do what's wrong? When do I do what's wrong? Have you ever watched a little child? You ever watched a little child that was about to do something that they knew was wrong? What do they always do? Sister Michelle, what do they do? What's a little child do when he's about to do something that's wrong, he knows what he's fixing to do is wrong, what's he do? That's right. He's going to look around to see who's looking. Now the problem is we don't believe God's looking all the time. That's the problem. We just don't believe in Him. If you believe He's looking all the time, you won't do what you do. If you believe that He sees behind closed doors, if you believe that you can't hide, you may hide what you do on that computer and television from your wife or your parents. I'm telling you, you can't hide it from God. And if you're not believing God sees you and hears you and is judging you, you'll perish. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. If you believe He's watching you, you won't perish. But if you don't believe He's watching you, you're going to do what's wrong, and you'll perish. Seeing then, verse 14, what's verse 14 say? Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus as your great high priest? Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe in Jesus as your King? Do you believe in Jesus as your judge? If you see that you have a great high priest, you know what you'll do? Let us boldly come. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can boldly go to the throne of grace because we have that great high priest. Whosoever believeth in Him, if you believe you've got a great high priest and you realize you've sinned, you'll fall on your knees and you'll go to the Father through Christ and you'll cry to your great high priest, have mercy on me, Lord. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And I'm not worthy to be in your house. But I beg you. Do you know a scripture that comes to my mind and heart many times is, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Many times when I have an evil thought, many times when I sin, it just focuses in my mind, oh, wretched man that I am. How can I keep on sinning? Oh, wretched man. Not that I was. That's not what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. The only time I feel, oh, wretched man that I am, is when I feel and know and believe Jesus is right there looking at me. And that's when I will always feel, oh, wretched man that I am. And when I feel that way, whosoever believeth that Jesus is there, he will not perish, but he'll have everlasting life. Anybody got a, every time we leave church, there's about 10 of you that leave and tell me, oh, I wish you'd have gotten to this. Well, I'm not going to get to half of what I wanted to get to myself. Somebody just tell me a good scripture to close with. Well, what is everlasting life? Good gracious, we didn't get to that. Sister Cindy, not you. Well, no, I'm sorry, Brother Wendell, her head. Okay, John 17:3 tells you what everlasting and eternal life is. This is life everlasting. This is life eternal. To know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. To know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have what? Everlasting life. If you believe in Him, you will know Him. If you believe that He's your Savior, if you believe He's your Judge, if you believe He's your King, if you believe He's your friend, we sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. If you believe that He's your Shepherd, the Lord is my Shepherd, I shall not want. If you believe what God's Word says about Jesus, you won't perish, but you'll have, right now, you'll have everlasting life. Fight the good fight of faith, brethren. Fight, fight, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. What am I telling you? I'm telling you Satan is after you. Satan's going to do everything he can to destroy you. He wants you to die. He wants you to perish. He wants you to perish. And the only way, the only hope that you have to not perish is if you believe in Jesus, is if you look to Jesus, if you trust in Jesus and you obey Jesus. All right, now give two men. Last, Brother Jerry, go ahead. Okay, amen. The man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That ought to be a prayer on every one of our hearts. If we know very much about ourselves, we know, I believe in Jesus. My daddy used to preach quite often, there's a difference in believing in Jesus and believing Jesus. I need to believe in Jesus, but I need to believe Jesus. I don't really believe in Jesus if I don't believe Jesus. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. One more scripture in closing. Anybody? Last chance. More important than us quoting scriptures is doing what God said. May God help me and may God help you and all of us this coming week and whatever days we have left on this earth. May God help every one of us to remember that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but will have everlasting life. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.